we all have 24 hours. I think time is the great equalizer. Billionaires and the homeless guy on the street have the exact same 24 hours in the day. It's what you do with it that matters, right?
Beyond the Wrench with Jay Ganinen from Wrenchway.
Welcome back to Beyond the Wrench. My name is Jay Ganinen, and I am your host. Today, we welcome Fernando Miranda. Fernando is the vice president of Transformers Institute, where he works with independent shops to help them achieve their potential. Fernando is extremely passionate about this industry, and I think our listeners are really going to enjoy him. Hi, Fernando. How are you?
Jay, I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm really happy to get you on the show. You and I have had several really, really good conversations around, even before we got on to this podcast, we were talking about habits and what we can do to better our lives. So every conversation I have with you really centers around that. And that's why I'm excited to have you on today.
Yeah, I am. I'm very glad to be here as well, Jay. Yeah, we've had some really good conversations around that, right? And how it's all connected, right? Everything we do in life, it's connected. So
It really is.
Yeah. So I'm excited about today. I'm hoping we get into some really good subjects, some juicy subjects that that'll hopefully bring some value to everyone who tunes in. Right. That's what it's about. That's why we're doing this.
It sounds fantastic. I'm looking forward to it here. Now tell us a little bit about you. How'd you get in the automotive world?
Gosh, yeah. So I came up through like the auto parts side of the world, right? And years ago, I started as a part-time sales associate at the local AutoZone when I was in my, like, I think it was like 20 or 21, and just because I needed a job. And quickly, I moved up to assistant manager, store manager, and, you know, along the way throughout my career, I became a district manager, and I spent about 10 years with Advance Auto Parts when I went from district manager to eventually all the way up to an executive vice president role. And along the way, I always interacted with shop owners, right? I always gravitated towards the DIFM side of the business, right? All auto parts stores have the retail, the DIY side of the business, and they have the DIFM side of the business where they get to work with all the local shop owners. So I was always fascinated with all of those shop owners that were, you know, ordering parts from us, and I would make it a point to go visit them. And along the way, I developed some great, great friendships. That's how I ended up at Transformers. Funny story, actually, right? When I was in Colorado and I was a regional sales manager, right before I got promoted to vice president and I moved to Florida, I had the Florida and Puerto Rico market. But before that, you know, I developed some strong, strong friendships with some of the, you know, some amazing shop owners in Colorado. And one of them was Greg Bunch, who obviously is a shop owner. He has six shops in Colorado Springs. And, you know, when I moved to Florida, he was no longer my customer, but he became a dear, dear friend of mine. And, you know, all of our families in Colorado. So we always, my wife and I and our kids, we always made it a point to come back to Colorado frequently. I think maybe once a quarter, we would make a trip to Colorado to, you know, see family and hang out. And every time I did, I would connect with Greg, and we either go to dinner with his wife Elena and my wife Emily, or we grab a cup of coffee, and we always stay connected. When Greg started Transformers Institute almost 7 years ago, I was with Advance Auto Parts at the time, and I was here, and I was invited to attend one of those meetings. Mainly because I think Greg wanted me to buy dinner for the group, right? which I did, right? I did. I had the company credit card, so I was happy to provide dinner. But I was at one of the original meetings. So funny story. Anyways, eventually, I started working. I was recruited by a car wash company, the biggest car wash company in the world. It used to be International Car Wash Group. Eventually, they got bought out by Driven Brands. But at the time, when I was in Florida, you know, I was recruited by this car wash company to be the regional vice president for the West, because they had a lot of growth happening in the West, and they needed, someone in that role. So when that happened, I didn't move to Colorado right away. You know, I started commuting to the market, but I was still living at the time we had a house in Naples, Florida, just beautiful area. How much do you want me to get into this? Because I feel like now
I love it. Yeah, keep going. Like, no, this is amazing. I love the story. I love the story.
All right. Well, I'm halfway there now, so I'm in it. I'm committed. I got to finish it, right? So, anyways, so I'm traveling to Colorado. I still live in Naples, and you know everything's great. But I'm making a lot of trips to, you know, Colorado, Utah, Texas. That was kind of my market. And then COVID happened. I don't know if you remember this little thing called COVID that shut everything down, right? So. When COVID shut everything down, I started to, not travel, right? Obviously, we all got grounded. I was still working remotely, and we were trying to figure out, hey, how do we stay open? How do we stay in business? How do we take care of our team, right? And luckily, we found a way to do so a little bit because, you know, car washing is now considered is more preventative maintenance, right? Because there's a lot of things that, you know, when you're washing a car, you know, the undercoat, the undercarriage gets taken care of and all the chemicals from, you know, the road and everything else. Anyways, we were able to stay open because of that, because we said, hey, you know, we're part of the automotive industry. It's, we're doing a good service. And anyways, it ended up working out. But when that happened and I got to work from home for 5 months, it was the best thing that happened to me, Jay. And I realized then that I've been so busy climbing a corporate ladder, right? Along the, you know, I mean, that was the normal thing. Being on an airplane on a Monday and coming back on a Friday was normal, right? Sometimes even the weekends, right? And that was the gig. And then I realized how much I was missing out, right? Because I have an 8-year-old now, and my son Mateo is 8 and my daughter is 11. So at the time, you know, they were like, what, 5 and 8. So
it's pretty critical time, right?
Right. Yeah. So then I realized, I'm missing out, right? I love just being at home, and I would work and I would clock out and not clock out, you know, but I would step away from the computer and I was there. I was home. I was with the family. We were doing our thing. And even though the whole world was shut down, again, we were in Naples, Florida, beautiful location. We were able to, stay together, be together, and we would go to the beach every night. And the beach was empty because no one was traveling. So it was like, all right, that was pretty neat. And then things started to open back up and I started traveling again. I was like, oh gosh, how do I not do this? Right. Anyways, a lot more details. I'll tell you some other day, but it got to a point where, you know, as I was moving to Colorado, Greg and I connected and we figured out a way for me to come and work at Transformers with them. And now I travel only when I really want to. And, you know, there's a few events that I attend, that I truly, truly enjoy because they're great events and I get to connect with so many people. But I'm not traveling every day. And, you know, I get to work from home most of the time. So I feel very blessed because of that. So long story.
That's a grind, man.
Like
that Monday through Friday travel, and I had done it for quite a few years myself, and I don't think people understand the toll it takes on you after a while when you're, you know, if it's via plane or car or whatever, but you show up when you get home and you're just like, I need to take a breath. And I still have some of my friends that they do that routine, right? That some of my best friends, they are on a plane Monday, come back Thursday night or Friday morning a lot of times. And it's funny because they always say as soon as I get home, my significant other, my wife, wants to go out to dinner. And the last thing I want to do is go out to dinner. I just want to stay home.
Right.
And it really throws your balance off.
That's a great point. Right. Or you spend the whole day talking to people, right? Cause that's what we do. And then you get home and your wife wants to talk to you cause she hasn't talked to you all day. You're like, I've been talking all day. So being able to understand that, right? It's a whole dynamic that happens. And but again, if you do something that you truly enjoy and it doesn't feel like work, then it's all good, right? Because it doesn't feel like, oh, I just got off of work. No, hey, I had a great day. I talked to several shop owners. We've been, you know, working on different strategies. We're, you know, helping them make a real difference in their business and in their lives. And I get to do that, right? So it doesn't feel quite like work. So when I clock out, I'm still good, still me, you know? So
you bring a lot of energy. One thing I'll share is my family shop recently signed up with Transformers, and it was because of some of those conversations with Fernando and some of those just stories I had heard from other people about Transformers. And that was definitely something that was such an appealing piece, was just hearing the energy in your voice and how much you can tell that you care about the industry. Because right. I think, you know, from my shoes, when you see that, and, you know, life is so much about who you surround yourself with. And if you're surrounding yourself with people that bring energy and bring positivity, and, you know, as cliche as that sounds, it is so true, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so, right? What is that saying? You become the five people you hang out with, right?
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of truth there. For me, this is who I am. This is who I am all the time. This is not like I shut it off. You know, so I work very hard at making sure that everything that's important to me in my life is where it's supposed to be, so that I get to be this way, right? Because it doesn't just happen, right? As you said, right? It's and kind of going back to the story I was telling earlier, when something that happened to me when I still lived in Florida, and something that I can only describe as a harmonious moment. And I've talked a little bit about this before, during our summit last year in Cancun, we have a Transformers. We do a summit every year. And anyways, on stage, I was able to talk a little bit about that harmonious moment that I experienced, and how that was profound for me, but that also kind of shaped who I am today. And I'll explain that a little bit. So I'm sitting there again. This is during COVID, everything's shut down, and the gyms were shut down as well. And I like working out. I work out early in the mornings. I'm a 4:30 guy. I'm up between 4 and 4:30, and I'm ready to go. And so gyms were shut down. I didn't have a home gym at the time. But my property in Naples, I had 2.5 acres, and I had probably about 120 pine trees. And there were at least 40 that were either, dry or were just in the wrong area. So I decided my morning routine, my morning workout was to take down a tree every morning. So I'm out there chopping it down, like a lumberjack. And, I'm like, good 45-minute workout, just swinging the axe. So anyways, this particular morning, I'm sitting there after doing that, and I'm drinking my cup of coffee, and I experienced what I can only describe as a harmonious moment, right, where everything was just right. There was no conflict in my head. There was no worries at all. I was not thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow or the day after. I didn't have any issues with business. And all that. And it impressed me, because of the fact that, there was no noise. There was no, I was able to think ever so clearly. And I started thinking, like, what is this? Like, it almost felt like, I've never done drugs, but it almost felt like I'd taken some kind of drug, and it was like euphoria, right? Like, it's like, oh man, this feels really good. What is this feeling? Right. But then I realized, because I was able to think so clearly, okay, how did I get here? And that's when I realized all the things that are important to me were at their optimal level. And it sort of happened, a little bit just by chance, I guess, right? So when I think about what's important to me, right? For me, it's family, faith, fitness, friends, fun. Well, friends and fun are together, in my opinion. And then finances, right? So we'll say those five things. And, I started kind of taking stock. I started taking account on, all right, man, my family, we were about as strong as it gets, right? I was working from home. I was hanging out with the kids the night before. We were out we were like painting and being together as a family. We had a great dinner. And so family, it's about as good as it's ever been. We've always been really good, but it was the best it's ever been, right?
Different level, right? Yeah.
Yeah, different level. My wife and I were just like totally in sync. We were really good. So family, I was like, all right, that's great. Faith, we had found a church, a Catholic church in Naples, where really they made us feel like part of the community. We were still going to church every Sunday. And, you know, I got really, really in touch with my faith. So, okay, faith is good. Fitness, again, I was lumberjack, man. I'm freaking taking down a tree every morning. I'm still working out. I'm still feeling good. We would, you know, I was very, very active. So physically I was feeling really good. So, okay, that's good. You know, fun and friends. We were still meeting with friends. A couple of nights before that, we had friends over. We had a great dinner. We played, you know, board games. And, you know, I was connecting with some really, really good friends via, you know, just like Zoom like this. So, okay, friends, fun. Again, we were going to the beach every day. We were having a lot of fun. So that was good. You know, finances, finances, you can always do better, right? But we were very comfortable. I was not worried about, oh man, if we, you know, if COVID, you know, if everything shuts down a little bit longer, I'm going to be in trouble, right? So everything was great. Like, so every one of those components at an optimal level created this sort of harmony in my life. And I realized, like, this is what I consider, like, this is what success looks like for me. How do I stay here, or how do I experience this more often? So so now I'm a lot more intentional in everything that I do needs to lead me to more of those, you know, experiencing that harmony in life, right? So, but it's all connected, as I said earlier. So where was I going with that? I'm not sure.
Well, I love it. I think it's so good because, you know, I think it was Zig Ziglar, right, that talked about, I think he had the seven spokes of his wheel, and he said if one of those spokes is broken, you have a flat tire, you have a flat spot. And if you have several of those broken,
yeah,
you have several flat spots on your tire, and life just isn't going to move as smoothly as you want it to. And so as you're saying that, I can't help but think about the Zig Ziglar side. And it's so true, right? I think that's the stability piece. And I do like that you mix the friends and fun in there as well, right? Because I think it's really easy to focus on the other stuff. But if nothing else, COVID taught us the value of those relationships and the value of having friends and having fun. Because if you didn't at that point, life got really, really lonely. So I think everything that you're saying is so on point and is just great advice in general. This week's episode of Beyond the Wrench is brought to us by Jasper Engines and Transmissions. Okay, your customer's engine or transmission has failed, but now is not the time for them to trade their vehicle. Not without a working engine or transmission. Besides, would they have kept their vehicle another 3 to 5 years if their engine or transmission had not let them down? If you answered yes, then Jasper Engines and Transmissions is your choice to give your customer's vehicle new life and many thousands of miles of enjoyable driving performance. When considering the high cost of a new or newer used vehicle, there's a pretty good case to be made for replacing a drivetrain component that has failed or is delivering poor performance. Rather than trading their car, truck, van, or SUV, install a quality remanufactured Jasper product for less than your customer would have to invest in a new vehicle or a newer used vehicle. Check out their website at jasperengines.com to learn more about the money-saving value of Jasper. What are things that, you know, might take you off of that path where it seems so simple to have all of these things operating at a high capacity, but there are several roadblocks in life that really create challenges to being in an ideal state in every single one of those categories?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, your mindset can throw everything off, right? So you have to really be mindful of that. Because if you don't have the right mindset, maybe you don't get up as early in the morning and work out. You know, maybe you don't do as well at work. Maybe, you know, your wife irritates you for the smallest reason, right? Or your kids do. You know, you don't reach out to friends and go grab a cup of coffee. You know, everything, it impacts everything else. And it has this trickle down effect, in my opinion, right? So I think it starts with, and I don't think people realize how impactful your individual mindset is, especially as a business owner, because then not only does that impact you and your loved ones, your family, your friends, your kids, but it impacts your business. It impacts your team. And then that impacts your customers as well. And it has this trickle down effect. So for me, it's realizing, all right, how do I explain this? What kind of day am I going to have? Right. And so I'll get back to my routine, right? I get up at 4:30. I work out for 45 minutes. I bought a sauna because one of my very good friends, J.R. Luna, he's got a few shops in California. He's one of our members as well. We went to visit him a few months back, and he had a sauna in his garage, and we went for a hike, and then we got back, and I'm like, I'm not getting the sauna for 20 minutes. And it was intense. So the first thing I did when I got back home, I told Emily, I'm like, I'm going to order a sauna. And freaking Costco like delivered it to my house, right? Like I had her order it because she's better at it. So she ordered the exact same brand, the same model that my buddy JR has. And we order it. It got in. I have a perfect place for it in the basement. I have my gym, my home gym. And next to it is a spare guest room with a huge bathroom. Put the sauna right in there. So every morning I work out for 45 minutes. I do a 25 to 30 minute sauna session. I visualize, I meditate, I pray, and I get my mind right for the day, right? Because what happens when you have the right mindset, you see opportunities everywhere. When you have a negative mindset, you see challenges and obstacles everywhere. And I have a perfect story to tell you about that, but I don't know how we're doing on time.
Please do. Yes. Go right ahead. Yeah. We're in this. I love this. Yeah.
This is a prime example of what a mindset, how impactful your mindset is. Okay. So for Christmas, my wife and I, well, again, my family and I have this little tradition where we always get a new tree ornament, right? Every year we go to all the little local stores and find a tree ornament based on, hey, what kind of year I had, right? Sometimes for me, years ago when I was able to play golf more often, so I got a little golf bag, right? That was the one for the year. And anyways, every year we have a different ornament. So, this was a Friday night. We go out to a local store and we're shopping. And I realized it's like 7:30 and like, man, we didn't even have lunch. Like, I realized I was pretty hungry. So as we're exiting the building, I'm like, what are we doing for dinner? Like, hey, let's just grab something and bring it home, right? So I'm walking out. Like, I happened to notice a brand new Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, literally, I hadn't seen it before. Like, across the parking lot, bright, shiny. I'm like, Buffalo Wild Wings. That's what we're going to have for dinner. So we get in the car. I tell them, hey, you know what? I'll just go in and order, and we'll just take it home, right? So I walk in through the main door, and every table was busy. I'm like, man, this place is like happening, and there was like maybe 20 to 30 employees. I'm like, man, all right. Like, I've never seen that many employees at a Buffalo Wild Wings before. So cool. So I go to the hostess. I'm like, hey, I'm here to place a to-go order. She's like, oh yeah, you got to go to the back. And I'm so impressed, right? Again, it's busy. Every table has got a customer. So I go to the back and I talk to, I found out she was the assistant manager, and I talked to her. I'm like, hey, I'm here to place an order. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. We're not open yet. This is like a soft opening and this is a friends and family event.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, no problem. I said, I'm a friend of the family, so I qualify. She gets a laugh and she's like, all right, go ahead. Like, we'll take your order. So I'm like, cool, I just, order some wings. And I'm like, so I go to pay, and she's like, oh no, our point of sale system is not operating. We're not open yet. So this is on us. Like, you can, enjoy it, right? And she's like, you should order a couple of entrees too while you're at it. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll have a cheeseburger and some fries and all that, right? So she's like, yeah, get in there, right? So I place my order and I'm feeling good and I'm asking questions, right? They're working out all the kinks and, I'm just, you know, sitting back waiting and just watching everybody work. In comes this older gentleman, slams the door, angry as could be. I've been calling, you guys are not answering the phone, the side door is locked, and I have to go to the front door, they don't know what they're doing up there, blah, blah, blah. And, I've been wanting to place an order, and same lady, assistant manager, tells him the exact same thing he told me. Sir, I'm so sorry, we're not open yet. This is a soft opening, it's a friends and family event. And he went off. This is BS, you guys will never get my business again. And like exits, storms out the door, gets in the car, peels out of the parking lot. And as I'm sitting there reflecting on it, again, very same scenario presented to two different people, right? The lady said the exact same thing to him as he said to me. I was in such a great mood. I made fun of it. I made a connection with her. We had a great laugh. And I ended up going home with about $80 worth of wings and burgers, right? I got a free meal and I had such a great experience. This gentleman had the opposite experience because of his negative mindset. So you think about that, right? Yeah, that's at a small scale, right? It's a meal, right? You're interacting with the hostess, but look at the different outcomes. And here I am talking to you about this a year later. Every time I go to Wild Buffalo Wild Wings, I have that great experience. He had a negative experience because of his negative outlook.
Man, it's such a good story.
Yeah.
It's such a good analogy, right? It's for something so simple. I think that's something that happens in our day-to-day lives that we have control over. And I think there's times where I struggle with that, right? Where it's that consistency in that mindset and not getting too high or too low, to where the low part being, you know, you flew a lot. How often did you see that at an airport where people are just having meltdowns and you're like, there is nothing that person can do to help you out right now. They're trying. But at the end of the day, they can't control that the aircraft needs maintenance. They can't control that, you know, their incoming plane didn't get there on time. They can't control any of that. So you're just taking your frustration out on somebody that has no control over anything. And it's just ruining your day. Why not, you know, go find yourself a nice coffee shop or go grab yourself a beer at the airport or, you know, whatever it is, like make something fun out of it. And I think so much of it comes down to mentality and the way that you stated that, where in how you start your day is being able to get your mind in the right place. Now, I've read about that, you know, in so many different types of leadership books and so many different types of, you know, webinars or, you know, whatever it is where you're trying to consume that information. I think what most people struggle with is the consistency, right? And that's something I myself struggle with because, you know, I think at times and you hear the Alabama coach, and I've had somebody else, Darren Dameron, on the podcast in the past, but Nick Saban always used to say it was rat poison for the positive, you know, some of the positive stuff. And I truly think that in normal life, because when stuff starts going really, really well, that's when we have a tendency to let our guard down or vice versa. If it's going really, really bad, it can be really hard to kind of push through that. And so I'm interested how you keep that going, right? How you like through the highs, through the lows, being able to keep that temperament of kind of just, hey, the routine's the routine and I keep it that way, because that's something I to this day struggle with.
So I will tell you that it's you know, when that routine gets thrown off, because it's happened to me before as well, if you don't notice it right away, it becomes sort of a gradual shift. And it's, you know, it pretty soon you're like a month into it and you're like, I haven't worked out all month. Like, oh man, I feel sluggish. I don't feel as sharp. I don't feel as like, I'm like, oh, well, why am I out of breath just going up the stairs? I'm like, okay. Oh crap. I got to get back into my routine. Right. So it's interesting that if you're not mindful of that, the new normal becomes what you're doing now. Right. And so for me, it's I don't think about it. It's just something I do, right? But I will tell you, so I struggled with just, you know, getting into this or this healthy routine, I said, all right, I need like a hard reset, right? So I started doing the 75 hard challenge, right? Andy Frisella's, you know, promotes it. I think he created it. And it was, I was introduced to that by my good buddy, Brian Gossel, who's also one of our members. And he has four shops in Northern Colorado, but he's a really good friend of mine. And he was doing 75 hard challenge and he challenged me to do it. I was like, all right, I'll look into it. But that's almost what I needed to kind of get my routine started back up again. Right. And so my routine now is I get up at 4:30. I don't need an alarm. I just wake up. It's just a routine. I wake up. I don't think about working out. I just put my shoes on and I go down to the gym and I work out. Again, I turn the sauna on, 45 minutes working out. Sauna's ready. Get in there, visualize, meditate, pray, and then I'm ready for the day, right? How I got there, again, sometimes we need a little push. Sometimes you need to, in order for that to become routine, you're going to have to try. You're going to have to think about it every morning. You're going to have to make that decision every morning. Do I go down there and work out? Do I stay in bed a little longer? Until you don't think about it. Once it becomes a routine, once it becomes a habit, it's just something you do, right? So I would tell you, if you say, hey, you know, I'm struggling with finding that routine, do it for, you know, 60 days to 75 days. Be mindful of, hey, I am going to do this. I'm going to convince myself. Every morning you're going to have that internal battle and you're going to say, I'm doing this or I'm not, right? And you should just do it, do it, do it, do it, until it becomes a habit or a routine. And then once that happens, dude, that's just something you do. You go on vacation. I still get up in the morning. I still work out. I don't always have the sauna. There's no sauna. So when I go on, when I'm
first
traveling,
world problems,
but hey,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I still find ways to meditate and visualize, but it doesn't matter. Right. There was a time where I stayed at this hotel and they didn't open the gym till 7 in the morning. Well, I'm up at 4. I'm like, well, now what, right? So it was 11 floors. So I did stairs for 45 minutes, just going up and down the stairs, you know? So there's no excuses, really, you know? Even in Cancun, when we were down there, I did the same thing. It's like, all right, I got to do my morning workout and I got to do my evening workout. So
how do
it's all
you
here,
do,
man. It's all here.
I know it is. And so my question for you is, I mentioned barriers earlier in the show, and I'll give you an example of a barrier for me. And this is just something that I had struggled with. I had done the, you know, 4 a.m. routine for probably, I don't know, a few months, right? And was doing really good at it, going to the gym. I didn't have a gym at our house, so I would go to the local gym. And was doing really, really good. But a couple things that I found when I was doing it was, one, in order to get up that early, obviously you have to go to bed earlier. And for whatever reason, you know, I was going to bed at like 9 every night. And for whatever reason, I started waking up at like 2:30. And 4 wasn't bad. 2:30 and 2 was a killer for me.
Yeah.
And so you would, like, you get up at 2. For whatever reason, my body just said, hey, it's time to get up. And so I would get up. And by the time like 8 a.m. hit, I was exhausted. I was so tired. And so I really struggled with that to the point to where I'm like, I have to like go to bed a little bit later. Otherwise, I keep waking up this early. And so I'm almost like at extremes on both levels, right? Like I don't mind having that routine. And but when it gets down to it, and then it's disrupting like my normal day because I'm so tired. And I did always get a ton of work done before anybody else was even awake.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the day, I was just like, not so much the rest of the day. I think after lunch, I was dying. Like I either had to take a nap or do something to kind of reinvigorate myself to even be able to handle the day. And so I don't know if that's just me personally, But that was one of the real struggles I had with it, was getting up in the middle of the night, and then you're like, oh, I only got an hour more to sleep. And so then you're just up. And it was something that was a curveball for me that I'm not sure is just – it might just be a me issue. But how do you handle when that happens? Maybe you don't get a good night of sleep. Maybe you have a kid wake up in the middle of the night. You know, something happens to everybody.
Yeah. So you're not alone. I struggle with that as well. I go to bed at 10. So I normally get 6 to 6.5 hours. That's probably not enough. But I just – that's all the sleep I can get. No, don't get me wrong. Like, there's mornings where I wake up and I look at my wife and she's sound asleep, and I'm like jealous. I'm like, man, I want to be able to sleep in. Right?
It's nice and warm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't. Like, it was, Jay, I can go to bed at 1 a.m. and I kid you not, 4:30, I'm up. I just wake up.
Your program.
When I wake up. Yeah. And so for me, I still work out. Even if I had a crappy night, or even if I didn't get enough sleep, I still go through my routine because it's a routine, right? And I'm not a napper, but yeah, if I ever like get to a point where I'm like, man, I need to take a nap, then I'll take a nap. Yeah. I wish I could take a nap every day. I just don't fall asleep, right? But yeah, I think the routine is the routine. What you do, it's what you do, right? And you know, there's always going to be things that are going to trip you up. All right, I didn't get a good night's sleep. All right, I want to stay in bed longer. No, I still get up and I still do what I got to do, right? Consistency, I think, is what matters, right?
Technicians, have you checked out Wrenchway yet? Wrenchway is a free online community for automotive and diesel professionals. Whether you're looking for a job or not, Wrenchway makes it easy to explore new opportunities, stay up to date on what's going on in the automotive and diesel communities in your area, and helps improve and promote the technician profession. Check out all of the job details you care about before you apply or interview with Wrenchway Top Shops. Details like photos of the shop and answers to the questions you actually care about, instead of the same old copy and paste job description you see everywhere else. Open to new job opportunities but don't want to apply yet? Create an anonymous reverse job post and let shops reach out to you and see what's going on with the industry in your area through Wrenchway's Shop Talk. Join the Wrenchway online community for free by visiting wrenchway.com or by downloading the Wrenchway mobile app. Link is in the show notes. I think some of inconsistencies, even with myself, come from at times having a weak mindset, right? Where I think there's times where you're really motivated and, you know, you can crush everything. And then there's other times where, frankly, your mind's just lazy, right? And I don't know how you straighten that out, or you personally straighten that out, but it can be hard to get out of that rut for a lot of people, myself included.
Yeah. You have to have your go-to sources of inspiration. You know, have you ever do you ever hear a song that just pumps you up?
Yeah.
Or puts you in a better mood? Or you hear a speech that's just like, man, it inspires you, right? You have to know, all right, when you're like in a rut or in a negative, you know, mindset, go to one of those sources of inspiration. Sometimes it could be a conversation with a good friend, right? I can tell you that, you know, again, and Brian Gossel, Brian Sump, another good friend of mine, Greg Bunch, you know, these are folks that when I talk to them, like, they pump me up. I'm like, oh man, I feel better after. I have more hope for humanity after I talk to them, right? So you just have to know, hey, there are sources of inspiration, whether it's a book you're reading, whether it's a video that, you know, you know, that is going to inspire you and pump you up for the 5 minutes that you need to get going, whether it's a conversation with a good friend. Like, know that there's sources of inspiration out there. You just gotta, you gotta execute on it, right? You gotta, you know what happens is sometimes when people wake up in the middle of the night, they go to their phone and they go to Facebook and they go into all this negative posts and news are always negative. Well, again, maybe instead of doing that, you know, if your goal is to fall back asleep, maybe do a little reading, right? or meditate, or think about how you're going to, what are you going to do that is going to impact your day? Even if it means you're sitting there in the dark, quietly, just meditate, pray, visualize, whatever it is, right? But don't go to the phone. Because when you do, it, you know, again, the light has an effect on you and gets the brain working, and then it's hard to shut it off, right? Or get up and all right, I guess you're starting your day at 2 a.m. this today, right?
and
give yourself
it.
A break. Yeah, give yourself a break in the middle of the day and take a nap, and then, you know, be ready to, you know, show up for the family after work as well, right? So, but
that's a great
again,
point.
Yeah.
It's a great point. I used to beat myself up over that. You know, if, you know, I get up, I was working out, I would then work, right? Like, I would actually work, get a bunch of emails knocked out, do whatever prior to getting like ready for work, right? So I would get a bunch of work done, then go take a shower, get up with the rest of the family, essentially. And at some level, I think it was maybe cutting myself a little slack because, hey, if you need to lay down and rest for half an hour after lunch, you already put in three more hours than everybody else did. Like, if that invigorates you for the afternoon, why not do it, right? Why not embrace that? And I think it's easy for me now because we have Wrenchway, and it's not like I'm in an office every single day. I do remember those days being in an office where you're just kind of screwed at that point, right? Because you're just like, or those technicians that are out there listening right now, they're like, yeah, I'd love to do that, but guess what? The clock's running and I gotta work. And so I think one piece of advice that I would have for everybody is just that everybody's got a different situation. Everybody's got different things that are different ways or different, I don't know, like, I think what you said about watching that motivational video or reading something or listening to a quote from Kobe Bryant, right? Or Michael Jordan or, you know, whoever that sports great is that could get you motivated, whatever your go-to is, like, have it outlined a little bit so you know what to go to in those days. And I think the last thing I'll add to that is there's times where you actually have to want to do it too, right? It can be really, really easy. I think the quote, and I'm going to murder this quote, but they talk about how it's much harder to get up in silk sheets, right? So they basically meaning that, like, once you have the nice bedding and you have like it's harder to get out of bed when everything's going right.
Yeah.
And so I think the more you can kind of carry that mindset through, the more successful you're going to be. I will say when I had that 4 a.m. routine or 4:30 a.m. routine, life just seemed to run smoother, right? Because you're getting a lot of the stressors out of the way early on, and it sets you up to maybe have a little bit more of a free mind through the day. So as we're going through this, I'm like, my goodness, my wife's going to kill me because I'm going to start setting the alarm for 4 a.m. again. But it is
just for 90 days.
Just
after
for 90
that,
days.
You won't need it. After that, you won't need it. I promise you. You'll be up before the alarm goes off.
I think
you know, again, so look, everybody's situation is different. I still believe that your mindset impacts your, you know, everything you do in life. Again, either you're going to look at things as an opportunity or a challenge, right? Whether you're a technician that has to work 10 hours a day and, all right, hey, I don't have time to work out. Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. There's always time for that. I don't have time to meditate or work on bettering myself. Yeah, you do. We all have 24 hours. I think time is the great equalizer. Billionaires and the homeless guy on the street have the exact same 24 hours in the day. It's what you do with it that matters, right? And so, again, there's shop owners that are going to be listening to this. There's technicians, there are advisors. Based on your current situation, what are the things that you can do to impact it in a positive manner, right? Whether it's, again, your personal, your physical health, your mental health, your work performance, your relationship with your coworkers, with your boss, with the clients that are coming in, with your wife, with your, you know, spouse, I shouldn't just say wife, with your spouse and all those around you, right? What are the things that you can do to impact your outcome with every single thing you do in life? I think that matters, right? Regardless of what role you play, right? And I mean, let's face it, right? We work with, I'm blessed and have the opportunity to work with some of the very successful shop owners in our industry. Well, they started as technicians. They started as advisors. You know, I started as a part-time sales associate. You know, again, we all have a starting point, and the choices we make and how we apply ourselves impacts our future, right? A lot of what I'm doing today, I shared that with you earlier in private, right? A lot of what I'm doing today, I'm not necessarily doing it just for today. I'm doing it for my future self. You know, 20 or 30 years from now, I still want to be able to, you know, move around and play golf and be active. And everything that I'm doing now impacts that, right? And again, we're only talking about, again, the physical aspect of it. But same thing, same can be said about the business part of it. Everything that you're doing now is going to impact the future of your business, how much you grow, how little you grow, right? You know, so again, 24 hours, time is a great equalizer. It's what we do with it that matters, right? So
one thing we talked about before, and I think Transformers does a really great job at in general, is getting clarity on what you actually want out of life, right? And if you don't have that clarity of what that, you know, what your objectives are, what your goals are, and you're not really driven to meet those because you don't have the clarity, it's going to be a lot tougher to get up at 4 a.m., right? It's not, it's going to be tougher to maintain a routine. But having clarity on what you actually want to get out of life sounds really, really easy. I just want to be rich and be really happy, right? Like, I think that's what most people think, but there's not really that clarity or that maybe true thought put into what you want out of life. And I think that's where people fall off the rails a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I think, you know, being hyper aware of the outcomes you're looking for will help guide you there, right? And kind of going back to what I talked about earlier, right? When I had that harmonious moment and I started, you know, really reflecting on, all right, how did I get here and all those things. So, all right. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, the family and faith, you know, you have to put in the work. You know, you have to understand, hey, you know, relationships, you have to put in the work. You have to, hey, let's plan a dinner date. Hey, let's connect. Let's have a conversation, right? That doesn't just happen. Sometimes you have to start it. But the outcome is, hey, you know, you know, your relationship is better because of it. The physical part of it, right? Again, you have to put in the work. But if you have in your mind what you want to look like and what you want to feel like, and that guides your decisions, you know, it makes it easier, right? When it comes to the business part, all right, what do you want to accomplish, right? I define success differently than other people, right? Don't let other people define what success looks like for you. All right, so hey, I have a shop and I'm doing $1.2 million. Okay. What's the true potential for that shop? All right, well, it's more closer to $5 million. All right, so $5 million is the ultimate goal for this shop. How do you get there, right? What does that look like? What kind of staff do I need? You know, what's the car count? What's the ARO? What do we need to do in order to impact all those KPIs that'll get us to $5 million? But if you have that as the goal, you know, that's your vision, then little by little, your actions, you know, you everything that you're doing consciously or subconsciously guide you or help you achieve that goal, right? But it's being able to have that as your North Star, right? This is what's guiding us. This is what's guiding our decisions now. This is what's guiding, you know, how I talk to my team, how I challenge them, how I inspire them, how I hold them accountable as well. It's all those things that how do your actions and your team's actions or inactions impact your ability to achieve the goal? But you got to have a goal. If you don't, you're just wandering aimlessly, right? Like, all right, I guess we just show up to work today and, oh, we're going to open the door and we're going to see what happens, right? But hey, you know what? To be able to get to $5 million, how much do I have to do per week? All right, how many cars do we have to take care of? What's the ARO look like? All right, so then once you have that, you start honing in on, all right, what kind of marketing do I need to do to be able to get that car count where I need it? what does my sales process look like for me to be able to achieve the ARO that I need, right? What does my staff look like, you know? So all those things that matter, because ultimately, if you hit those marks, you're going to be able to achieve your overall vision. But again, the vision needs to guide your actions now, right? So I'm a big fan of, you know, I always ask, like, what does success mean to you? What does it mean to be successful? Yeah, we have some shop owners that we work with that, hey, I want to get to 20 locations. Great. What are you doing to get there, right? You know, are you financially ready? Are you operationally ready? What are all the things you got to put in place to be able to get to that goal? All right. We have others that, hey, you know what? I want to be able to hit $100 million in revenue. That's great. How are you going to get there, right? So there's some other people that are happy with a, you know, $2.5 million business, and it's more of a lifestyle business. You know what? I built this business so that it takes care of me and my family. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to operate it remotely. And hey, you know, that's what success looks like for them, right? Well, define success. Find out, like, what are you trying to accomplish? And then that's when you start putting action in place to be able to get there, right? But I believe that there's too many people in our industry that don't even have that well defined. They're just grinding, right? And then if you grind and you grind and you grind, and you know, you get to a point where you're no longer able to grind, but you didn't accomplish anything. You've had a job for 20 years instead of building, you know, a business that's sustainable, that's going to take care of you. Then you get to that finish line and you're like, okay, now what? Right. So I'm a fan of, hey, have a plan and then exit, you know, have a vision, have a plan to achieve that vision and execute the plan. Right. It's a lot easier to execute it if you have a goal in mind. If you have, all right, and that goal is going to continue to change. It's going to continue to evolve. All right, my goal right now is to go from 1.2 million to 3 million. All right, when you get there, you're going to have a new goal by then, right? Again, one of the shop owners that we work with, he was like, hey, you know what? I just want to get one more shop. Well, he got shop number two cranking. He's like, oh, man, I need another goal. I want to get two more shops. All right, now he's at four shops, right? So that vision and those goals will evolve as you evolve, as your mindset evolves, as you get more comfortable stepping into the role you need to play to be able to achieve those goals, right? And it starts with, again, defining the role that you as a business owner plays, or defining the role that you as a technician plays, or a service advisor. What role do you play in your current business and in the future of that business, or in your own future as well, right? I think, you know, as I mentioned, right, we work with a lot of shop owners that were technicians at one point. And they like, all right, even Greg Bunch will tell you, like, he was a technician. He went into business on his own and quickly realized that's a hard transition to make. But eventually sort of figure out what does it mean to, you know, work on the business, not in it, meaning you're not the technician, you're not the advisor, you're not doing everything. You have a role to play. Well, again, to go from working in the business to working on the business, that's also a hard transition because you got to understand the role that you play, right? And then what does it mean to get to two stores, to five? Well, again, that role continues to evolve based on your vision and based on the plan to achieve that vision. So, Jay, I don't know where I was going with that, man.
No,
reel me back in.
It's amazing stuff. And I think so much of it comes back to mindset, right? And just kind of how we kick this thing off. Because even looking at it from the sense that there are a lot of people that they'll start a workout plan on January 1st every year, and by the 10th day of the month, they're not doing it anymore. And I think so much of it comes down to their mindset and thinking, what's all this work for? I don't really look any different after 10 days, and you know, I don't really feel all that much better. And I think we're all so quick to judge whatever that new routine is or that new thing that we're introducing that we don't sit back and look at the long view, right? We don't sit back and say, hey, you know, your life, you know, feels like it goes by really fast, but in reality, you do have a long time that you're on Earth. And I think when you take that 10-day trial or the month trial and you're not seeing the results that you want, it's easy to just say, this isn't working, on to the next thing. And we've gotten so ingrained into this fad type of thinking that, you know, when you think about it, it's not rocket science, right? It's very much, if you have a routine, you stick to that routine, it's probably going to impact your mindset in a really positive way. But in order to stick to that routine, you actually have to have a positive mindset. And it's not even a positive mindset, just a mindset that I'm just going to stick with this thing, right? I'm going to stick with it. And knowing that the results will come if you do stick with it, and having the wherewithal. I think so many of us don't know that, you know, hey, it's nice to say we want that $5 million business, but I'm not seeing the immediate result that's going in that direction. So I'm just going to reverse course and I'm not going to stick with this at all.
Yeah. That's the real challenge, right? I think, everybody wants instant gratification, right? And the things that are worth it in life are not instant. It takes work. It takes time. Again, going back to the workout routine, you know, you're not going to see a change from today to tomorrow. But 3 months from now, you're going to see a change. You know, 9 months from now, you're going to see a bigger change, right? Same in business, right? To be able to get to $5 million or, all right, to truly optimize your business, let's not put a number out there, right? Because again, it all depends on what kind of shop and what kind of business you're running from a capacity standpoint. In order to truly optimize your business, you're going to have to do some things a little bit differently, right? Creating systems and processes, SOPs. Man, that's like a curse word anymore. SOPs, right? Yeah, you have to create standard operating procedures, right? In order to grow, and you have to do those things to be able to get to truly optimizing your business, especially if at some point you want to go hands off and not be involved in the day to day. You got to have those things, right? So you have to build it. And if today you're thinking about, man, I don't have an attendance policy, my guys are always showing up late. Well, you need to create an attendance policy to prevent that from happening, right? So, which means you have to create an SOP, create a standard, and then be able to then, hold your people accountable to that standard as well. But I'll digress, right? If you want to truly optimize your business or your fitness, you're going to have to put in the work. And don't lose sight of, again, that vision of what you're trying to accomplish, right?
I think as you're saying this, you know, it just becomes more and more clear to me that when you talk about those five people that surround you or your immediate kind of click, right? The people that you are surrounding yourself with, if they can bring accountability to the conversation, that is a game changer, right? If you have friends and acquaintances that surround you that are going to hold you personally accountable to executing what you say you're going to do, right? I think that's why we have coaches. That's why we have fitness coaches. That's why we have business coaches. That's why we have anybody that can guide us, because of that personal accountability, I think is really, really critical. And I think that's, you know, if maybe you're struggling with that, that's a reason to have a coach in whatever it is that you're struggling with, right? Like that personal accountability, and even your friends group, if you have people that are going to push you and they're going to send you in the right direction, that's who you want to surround yourself with.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. Not only for accountability, but again, inspiration as well.
Inspiration,
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, so part of what we do at Transformers is we have all these different mastermind groups, right? And what makes it different than other coaching companies is that we really put a lot of emphasis on who's in the room with you, right? So I've seen this before, and I've seen it like happening in York. You can almost kind of see the mindset shifting, right? Where, you know, you have a shop owner that comes in and he thinks he's doing pretty good, hitting, $3-5 million. Maybe he has one shop, maybe he has two. And then he sits next to a guy that's doing 10 million. It's like, oh, all right, well,
It's possible.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Not only, but again, that's what the source of inspiration, right? Okay. Well, hey, you know what? Am I aiming big enough? Right. Or again, maybe you're sitting next to a guy that's like, yeah, hey, I got one shop and I spend half my time in Florida on vacation and it operates without me. Oh, well, how do I get to that point? Right. But so you kind of going back to you become the people you surround yourself with. Right. So if you surround yourself with other successful shop owners and operators, you're going to get there. Right. Because not only are they going to inspire you, they're going to challenge you. They're also going to show you how to get there as well. Right. They're willing to share their knowledge, their wisdom, the mistakes they've made so that you don't have to make the same mistakes. And yeah, hey, sometimes they're even willing to share their resources. You know that SOP you're trying to create? Dude, I got one. Yeah, I'm going to share it with you. You know, make it your own and run with it, right?
Shout out Al Pridemore. He did that for us. He did a phenomenal job at coaching me through some of that and adding some process, and I appreciate him doing that.
Yeah. Al is one of those guys that is just everything that's good about our industry. Well, not just Al and his brothers as well, the whole Pridemore family, right? So they you know, he and his brothers were part of Transformers almost since the beginning. They were in a Platinum One group with us. Last year, they sold all their shops in Colorado. And, you know, Al kind of came full circle. Now he's working and coaching for us and helping shop owners like yourself, you know, make a difference, right? So that's what it's about. And really, that's why I love what I'm doing. And that's why I love, you know, what we do at Transformers, because it's really about, you know, impacting people's lives, right? And we always say, you know, information is not transformation, meaning just because you go to a class or you go to a workshop and you get all this knowledge and you take notes and you get inspired, if you don't execute, none of that matters, right? It's in the execution. It's in that, again, what is the plan? What am I doing today that is going to be different? What am I doing today that is going to impact, you know, our vision, right? So you have to put in the work. And I think a lot of, again, being in a mastermind group with other shop owners that are going to help you and hold you accountable. And yes, working with the right coach, the coach that is going to inspire, help you and kick you in the ass when you need it and hold you accountable to that, right? And say, all right, how do we okay, you went to this workshop and you have this 20 ideas. And all right, how do you prioritize? What are you going to do first? How are you going to make sure that it actually, you roll that out to your team? How do you make sure that it sticks, right? Because what happens too many times is, you know, there's all these different industry events, right? Including the one that we host, our summit. And people go to that and get inspired and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back and change everything on Monday. And then you go back and you don't quite plan it right. And you try to execute something and it doesn't work. And you're like, oh, all right. Back to the normal routine, right? It's being able to stick to it, being able to prioritize, being able to put a plan in place and know how to measure, all right, am I gaining traction? Being able to adjust as needed, right? And again, evolve, right? As the plan evolves, you evolve and your business will grow as well. So I think where a lot of people struggle, again, is on the execution. And that's something that we really work with the shop owners on is, all right, how do you execute the plan in order to achieve the vision? Whatever role you're playing. Hey, if you're a technician and you want to get to a point where, all right, you know, let's be honest, right? Being a technician wears on your body, right? Your hands, your back, your all that, right? Eventually, all right, what's next for a technician, right? Well, it's a shop foreman role. It's a leadership role part of it. Okay. Well, then how do you sharpen your mind to be able to, you know, how do you acquire the soft skills you need? You already have the technical skills. You know how to work on cars, right? But all right, what soft skills do you need to acquire to be a better leader, right? To be a better communicator, right? To be able to resolve conflict, to be able to,
that's a big one.
To be able to identify performance deficiencies and put action in place to, you know, to improve those deficiencies for good, right? How to diagnose people instead of cars, and how to fix people instead of cars, right? So again, if you're a technician, you know, again, what are you trying to achieve? If you're a service advisor, how do you continue to grow, right? How do you continue to get better at the role? There's a lot of training out there, but are you going to that training, and are you implementing what you're learning, right? So I think if we, as an industry, if we all continue to just sharpen, you know, I think, you know, one of the biggest tools that we have in our toolbox is our mind, our brain, our mindset. If you continue to work on that, it's going to give you positive results, right? But as an industry, we all need to do a better job. I mean, let's face it, our industry still has kind of a negative image, right? And that's something, again, Transformers Institute is really about transforming the industry, right?
Yeah.
So we have a better image, right? So
I think Transformers does a fantastic job of it. I think it's because of the great people involved. As I've gotten to know more and more folks within Transformers, yeah, it really is just a lot of really good people. What you do on a daily basis and how you are out there motivating people and really pushing people to get better is just wonderful, right? You do such a great job at it. Every conversation I have with you, I come away feeling better. Yeah. About everything, right? So I give you and the entire team at Transformers a huge, huge kudos to everything that you're doing, because it is impactful and you're doing some amazing things. So I appreciate you being on the show today. I get the feeling this probably won't be the last time that you'll be on the show.
Yeah.
So hope to have you back on sometime.
Yeah, anytime, Jay. I mean it, right? I love, again, this is something that I'm very passionate about, right? It's how do we impact the industry and how do we impact the people in it? Because we have some amazing people in this industry, and you know, they all deserve to just have a happier, healthier, more fulfilled life. And I think that's what makes us unique, right? It's that everyone that's affiliated with Transformers is here for all the right reasons. We're, you know, it's so much more than a job, right? It's Al Pridemore, again, prime example. He doesn't need to work. Right. He wants to work. He wants to make a difference. Great bunch, right? He could easily just focus on his business, on his auto shops, but he spends so much time with Transformers because he wants to make a difference. He wants to help. He wants to, you know, really help shape the industry. And Brian Gossel, who also helps facilitate a group. Brian Sump, again, those are like, you know, those are like brothers to me, but they truly care, right? They don't need to be involved with Transformers because they were paying them well. I don't even know if we're paying them. I think we are. I kid. If Brian Gossel and Brian Sump are, you know, watch this, don't get any ideas. Okay. The point I'm trying to make though,
is that they're
doing this because they truly care. And I think that's what matters, right? At the end of the day, is you want to work with people that truly care and they're doing this for all the right reasons. And I think that's what really makes Transformers unique in that aspect, that it's like everyone who's involved is doing it because they really want to make a difference. And that matters.
It does. And you guys are doing a phenomenal job at it. I truly appreciate you being on the podcast, and I always look forward to our next conversation. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Heck yeah, Jay. Thank you. We'll see you around.
That wraps up another episode of Beyond the Wrench. If you like this episode, please show your support by rating and following the podcast. You can also watch the video interviews on Wrenchway's YouTube channel. Speaking of Wrenchway, did you know Beyond the Wrench is managed and produced by the Wrenchway team? Wrenchway is an online community dedicated to promoting and improving automotive and diesel careers. We help technicians find the best shops to work at, and we also help auto, diesel, and CTE instructors get more support from local industry. You can learn more by visiting wrenchway.com.